15, if you're a bubble guy and you two-piece Travis Frederick, that's the kind of guy I want on my team. That's the kind of guy I want on my team.
So you want them to show up in practice, earn snaps in a game, and then when they get the opportunity in the game, to come through and verify what you've seen in practice.
Every season he's been with the team, he's done every single thing they've asked him to do. He's changed positions. He's flexed all over the place. A top shelf special teams guy as well. Coney Ealy hasn't had a great camp thus far.
Didn't expect it. And when they signed him, I was like, why is everybody hype? Have you not seen Coney Ealy these last 2-3 years? But people were hyped for it, and now he's coming through and showing what I thought he was going to be. He's a Jag. He is. He's a Jag. All right, all right, all right. You are now rocking with the best, and thank you so much for tuning in for another great, exciting, exhilarating episode of Catch This Fade podcast. Of course, I'm your host, KD Drummond. That is my man, Patrick Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Catch This Fade. We love having you around. KD, what's going on, brother?
Man, you know, it's another day, another dollar. We are preparing for the Cowboys preseason. And in honor of that, we wanted to talk about a few things that are near and dear to our hearts, stuff that we're going to be watching. And of course, you know, preseason for diehard fans and casual fans are two totally different things. Casual fans really don't care about the preseason. They get excited and they turn on the TV for the first game and they realize that the starters at the most play a series, and there really is going to be a lot of guys that they've never heard of because they haven't been paying attention all offseason. So there's not a lot of value. And those kind of fans probably care about what the final score is. But for diehards that have been studying this team and care just as much about the team building process as they do the actual results of the game, free agency, the draft, working all these new guys in, the new position coaches, all of that kind of stuff, this is basically Christmas. And it's Christmas over 4 weeks because we get to see them first start off Thursday night against San Francisco and then dovetailing into the rest of the preseason as they decide who's going to be on this roster. Now, the roster is 53 men when it comes to the regular season, plus 10 on the practice squad. In reality, out of these 90 players that are in camp right now, there's really probably only about 8 to 10 positions that are truly up for grab on the roster. But within that roster, the depth chart can be affected based on these performances. So there's a lot of stuff that we want to key in on and focus on as we're watching these next several exhibition games.
Absolutely. And the thing with the casual fans is, see, there's nothing wrong with being a casual fan.
No.
Unless, you know, the only way it goes wrong is when the casual fan tries to kind of over talk their own, you know,
casual nature. Game. Yeah.
Right. So that's when it becomes problematic. But aside from that, I mean, you have those fans that actually think, which is weird, they actually treat preseason games as if they matter. So it's like if the Cowboys go 0-4, oh no, they're going 4-12 this season, when in actuality, the preseason game should be exactly what you said. They're evaluation periods for, you know, second string guys, third string guys, those bubble guys who are really trying to prove themselves, and not only for the Cowboys, because a lot of these players, when it gets cut down from 90 to 53, these cats are they're trying to put something on film for other teams.
Yep.
So this is an audition not only for the Cowboys, but for 31 other teams, and other teams are doing players on other teams are doing the exact same thing. They're trying to put something on film that hopefully the Cowboys and, you know, 30 other teams, like if the team they're with right now deems them unworthy to be on that particular roster. So even if you're looking at the preseason games and you're just like, oh, well, I don't know these guys, you never know who's on the Cowboys right now, who might end up playing for, let's say, the Eagles and being that guy that sacks Dak Prescott in the playoffs. And see, you didn't see him coming. But those of us who know better when it comes to the preseason, we know to evaluate everybody on the field, not only with the Cowboys, but for the other teams as well. So, I mean, this is, when it comes to football geeking, this is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. I think, and one of the main people that I'm excited to see starting off with the Thursday game against the 49ers is going to be Leighton Vander Esch, the very first pick for the Cowboys in this year's draft. And the reason for that is he's really flown under the radar for his first round pick. When it comes to the linebackers not named Sean Lee and the biggest question marks entering the season for linebacker, everybody wants to know where Jalen Smith is health-wise. And they want to see it. You know, we've heard reports. We've seen the video snippets of things that he's done. But to see him in an actual game, everybody is going to be uber excited to see how that plays out. But where exactly is Van Der Esch in this entire process? We know that Sean Lee didn't start any games as a rookie, so that's not really the litmus test on whether or not he was a successful draft pick or not. But very interesting will be whether or not he can siphon off snaps from Smith and kind of change Smith's role in the defense. We know Smith is versatile. He has pass rush skills. We've talked about it, you know, and the work that they've had him do in that regard so far through training camp, and it's very exciting to see. But is Van Der Esch going to look the part now that he can actually hit somebody? Because thumping linebackers, when you can't tackle, they don't do much good when it comes to training camp practices. So in a real game, I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Absolutely. I think Van Der Esch is the reason he's flown under the radar is because of those two guys that you just mentioned. I mean, you have the concerns of Sean Lee's health going forward. So that looms large. That's the prevailing headline. And I hesitate to say prevailing when you look at the hype, justifiably so, the hype going on around Jalen Smith. But take those two things, and it's not hard to be overshadowed by them, even if you're a first-round pick. So by all accounts, what we've seen and heard about LVE in training camp is that he's having a very solid training camp. I've seen some great plays from him, particularly coverage plays. That's really where I'm keeping my eye on for him. I don't think that he's going to have problem at all dropping his head and you know, blitzing the quarterback and getting into the backfield when he needs to. I'm looking at his size versus how well does he cover? How can he maneuver his mass when it's time to, you know, see an Alvin Kamara coming out of that backfield?
Right.
So that's really, I'm right there with you. That's really what I'm looking forward to seeing when it comes to him. And I don't believe that, and we talked about this before in the last Catch This Fade episode, I don't see him starting for the majority of the season, maybe not in 2018 at all. And that's fine, because again, if Jalen Smith turns out to be worth the price of admission, and he really is back to Notre Dame form, and Sean Lee is on the field for 16 or more games, then we should all be fine with Van Der Esch just simply rotating in and sharing those snaps with Jalen Smith. I don't see him doing much will work unless Sean Lee is actually injured, but you know, it'd be fun to see him out there. And like I said, I don't have a problem or concern with him getting in the backfield. I really want to see him move that body in coverage. That's where I want to kind of keep my eyes glued on Thursday when it comes to the 49ers.
You mentioned what we discussed in a previous Catch This Fade episode, so I want to make sure that all of our listeners, regardless of whatever platform you're listening to this show right now, know that you can subscribe on iTunes. Go search for Cowboys Barbershop. That is the best way to get the most current version of Catch This Fade. We've been on a couple different platforms. They refuse to bring down their versions of us. I guess they love us too much, and we're still bringing the traffic for them.
That's what we do.
I'm not mad at them for that, but it makes it a little confusing for our listeners that want to find
stalkers.
And make
stalkers
and make sure stalkers. That they can get the latest and greatest. So go search for Cowboys Barbershop.
We said it's over.
I'm saying it's been, they say it's been a long time and we shouldn't have left them. So I really can't be mad at them.
Ex-girlfriend syndrome, man, out there in bushes with the binoculars. Who's she?
Yeah. Go ahead and finish that on a censored version. Yeah. But listen, iTunes, Spotify, Android, you name it, your favorite podcatcher, you can subscribe to us. That is the best way to show your support. And of course, on Twitter, I'm at KD Drummond NFL. He is at Voice of the Star. Okay, so we talked about the linebacker, the number one pick. Everybody wants to see what's going on between Van Der Esch and Smith, who emerges with the most snaps in a very crowded linebacker field. We've talked about the fact that it's going to be hard for the Cowboys to find snaps for everybody until somebody gets injured. We've discussed all of that. Let's talk about this battle at wide receiver, because it's deep. We're talking about third-round pick Michael Gallup, Allen Hurns, Tavon Austin, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley, Lance Lenoir, Noah Brown. All of these dudes bring something different to the table and can at one time or another lay claim to being the best player on the roster at a specific skill. Under new position coach Sanjay Lal, I am so excited to see how they deploy these guys and how much chemistry they have with the quarterbacks. We won't see Dak a lot, if at all, on Thursday, but later on in the preseason, he's definitely going to get in there, and that'll be the real test. But even with the backups in Mike White and Cooper Rush, how much chemistry do these guys have, and how well are they able to do the basics of what Lyle has been teaching them since he's come into play?
I am absolutely, and it's funny because you mentioned White and Cooper Rush. I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing battles this preseason. The battle of the backups. But like you said, it's about trying to find chemistry with these receivers. You got so many new faces and so much, as far as high expectations are concerned when it comes to a player like Michael Gallup. Is he going to end up being, you know, that number one X receiver, which would move Allen Hurns over to the number one Y receiver? And then which of those are going to end up being the quote unquote number one receiver as far as who ends the season with the most targets and the most yards? Because you got Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley is absolutely killing camp. I mean, on the offensive side of the ball, he's doing, on that side of the ball, I should say, what Byron Jones is doing on the defensive side of the ball. Like, Cole Beasley is indefensible right now. So he has chemistry with Dak, and then, you know, you're not really going to see Dak. Maybe you see him for one series, but I don't think you'll even see him for one series. So I'm interested to see what some of these guys, like, you know, Allen Hurns, if he plays, Lance Lenoir, my guy.
I see no way. I will be so disappointed if he turns into Andy Jones. and look, full credit given, Lance Lenoir has been your dude. You've been prepping us for this, and even I was doubtful. Like, he'd post these videos and people would be so psyched. Okay, he's running up a hill. Big deal. Okay, brother is cut. Big deal. I need to see him play. I've now seen him play. And yeah, the hype is worth it. I really want to see this dude. I don't even think at this point, with a Cedric Wilson injury, I don't think there's much chance that he doesn't make the 53-man roster. And this is a dude who didn't matter last year. Like, they gave him a chance and he didn't matter. So as long as he doesn't shrink under the big lights of the preseason games, I see this guy as wedging his way onto the roster.
Absolutely. You can't let Lance Lenoir walk. I mean, even if Cedric Wilson wasn't injured, I had Lenoir on my wide receiver depth chart, and I was only carrying six, and that was because I personally am not counting Tavon Austin as a wide receiver. Right, and that's not because he's not going to take snaps at wide out. It's because I think that he's more of a specialty guy than an actual
Swiss Army.
Right, there you go. So, you got to keep Lance Lenoir here. Look at the development in this kid, man. I mean, he showed some good signs last preseason, but at that time, he was more so known for his route running and nothing else. Right. And that's why they kept him around, because his route running was crisp. And, you know, he's a young guy. Obviously, that was his first year. And now you look at him now, and I mean, has there been a day that's gone by where he hasn't made a phenomenal catch in training camp?
If so, it's been like few and far between.
Yeah, I feel like I see it every day. There's some type of phenomenal catch. He's, you know, he might lose his footing on the cut, and he's horizontal with the ground. He still makes the catch. It's just his hands. I'm excited, man. Yeah. Lance Lenoir is my guy. I want to see him out there doing some work. But I'll throw another name out there for you. We've seen some plays from Mikael McKay. I'm curious to see where that's going to go. Obviously, we both have spoken enough, and I think we both have a lot of love for Noah Brown. I think the hamstring injury kind of set him back just a little bit. Nothing major there, but he missed some practice time. I don't think he can afford to miss any practice time in that wide receiver room right now. But you look at someone like Mikael McKay, he's going to be interested. Let's talk about this Ricky June acquisition, this newly signed guy that came out of Georgia Tech, spent some time with the Tennessee Titans, I believe, last season. Mm-hmm. He came in this week, these past few days, and he made a couple of great grabs. So I'm interested to see what he can do, because he's a deep threat. The guy runs a 4.48 40. So he's got some burners. And if they're looking at him to potentially challenge someone like Deontay Thompson, the speedster that'll take the top off. And of course, Wilson was supposed to be one of those guys. They were looking to be a deep threat. You got KD Cannon. He's going under the radar. I don't know that he's been impressive in training camp, but he's a speedster as well. I'm just all around, I'm with you on this. There's so many question marks surrounding this wide receiver unit. And, you know, we hear so many things. And Sanjay Law, he's huge on Lance Lenoir. He's big on Deontay Thompson. He had a short stint with him up in Buffalo. Let's just get it out there, man. And then Mike White, you know, they loved Mike White pre-draft, but they also love Cooper Rush. Hey, man, this is about to be wonderful. I don't know how people can tune out from a preseason game, man. It might just be the geek in me. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. Now, one thing that I want to warn about that we're dealing with, we just don't know. And I think that's the main thing that we need to take away from how we view these preseason games. What happens in the one preseason game? If somebody balls out and has fantastic stats, sure, fine, great. It's more about the overall picture. How consistent are they in being able to do what they do when on the big stage? Right. Some guys are great practice players and some guys aren't. Some guys are great gamers and some guys aren't. You would like for these guys that are on the quote-unquote bubble to be doing both. You want them to show up in practice, earn snaps in a game, and then when they get the opportunity in a game, to come through and verify what you've seen in practice. Those are the type of players that you want to start marking off and saying, you know, it's going to be really difficult for them to cut that guy. When you mention right. guys like McKay and KD Cannon and Ricky June, those guys, to me, they're fighting for practice squad spots. Which, and there's nothing wrong with that. You get a very quality salary to be on an NFL practice squad.
And you get a shot at landing on the active roster if there's an injury at some point in the season.
Exactly. I think the Cowboys are so... I don't even want to call them deep because we still don't yet know the overall quality of the group, but they're so huddled together as far as skill sets in the wide receiver group. I think those guys have very little chance of making the active roster. I think Lenore has elevated himself from that, okay, I'm competing for a spot on the practice squad to I'm competing for a spot on the 53, but I find it very difficult to believe any of those other guys have elevated themselves to that point outside of that. So, overall, we're just looking for a good sense of how the wide receivers are shaking out, what they do well. I believe the coaching staff is going to be putting them in situations in the game to test what they have questions about based on what they've seen in practice. So it's not going to be in a game where, okay, you're throwing 40 passes, so you know that you're going to maximize and say, I'm going to only put these guys in a position where I know what they'll do in these routes, in these combinations, in these options. Preseason is going to be, okay, let me test what I'm not sure about these guys. So that changes how you should be viewing the game and lets you know even more so you shouldn't be worried about what the final score is.
Agreed. And then when it comes to those positional battles, it's obviously much deeper than the wide receiver core. That's the one that has the most question marks right now. But we kind of touched on the battle between Cooper Rush and Mike White. Let's shift focus over to what's going on with the tight ends. You're probably going to see a great battle going on between the tight ends because you got someone like Rico Gathers. He's fighting tooth and nail to remain on the roster. And I think at this point, and I've said this before, so I'm not going to be shy about saying it again, I think he's also trying to put some good film on display for other teams because I think that the Cowboys are only going to carry three tight ends. That's Jeff Swaim as your starter for the season opener. Behind him, Blake Jarwin. Behind him, Dalton Schultz. I don't think that the Cowboys are going to carry four. I think David Wills is going to end up on the practice squad. I don't even know that they would approach Rico with a practice squad offer, but even if they did, he wouldn't accept it. So I think that's really going to motivate him to kind of try to ball out like he did last preseason. But for those fans that are simply looking at the highlight plays that some of these guys are making, you're going to have to look for scheme fit as well. So with Rico, if he catches six touchdowns in the preseason, that doesn't necessarily mean he fixed his blocking issue. So what you really should be keyed in on is not can Rico Gathers catch. Absolutely he can catch. It's not can he run routes. He's not the best route runner, but he's not the worst route runner. So he can get that done. He's serviceable. But the question is, can he block? Because he's entering his third year, and the biggest knock on him is blocking. Exactly. So that's what those types of things are what you want to watch when the preseason game is on. So, yeah, it's fun to celebrate touchdowns and everything. And if Gathers grabs two touchdowns in a game, then here come the overreactions. Oh, you got to keep this guy. Dallas, how could you let this guy go? Well, if you look at his blocking on those run sets, if it still leaves a lot to be desired, then that answers your question. So you got to look deeper than simply highlights when it comes to a football game, period, but especially something as evaluation-based as the preseason.
Yeah, it's a very rare player that can't do the fundamental things but can continuously give the kind of production that we saw out of Rico in the preseason last year. Like, eventually, the fact that your fundamentals are off is going to affect whether or not you can make those highlight plays. And he had two great touchdown catches last year, and that's what set everybody ablaze on the Rico Gathers bandwagon, especially off the heels of the previous year when we heard about what he was doing on the scout team with Tony Romo as a quarterback. But again, that was Tony Romo as his quarterback.
Right.
You kind of got to take a step back and evaluate that for what it is. But for me, what Rico does to set the edge for two other major competitions that I can't wait to watch. Bo Scarborough versus Rod yes. Smith.
Yes.
And then Trey Williams versus Jordan Chun. Now, Williams and Chun are competing to be that practice squad running back. Can Bo Scarborough and do what he, so far in training camp, we've seen the moves. He has a sick jump cut. We know his speed score. He is, for his size, just a phenomenal guy when it comes to speed. He reminds me of Brandon Jacobs in the way that he could have an impact on the team. But people are sleeping on Rod Smith, man, and I don't think that would be in their best interest whatsoever.
I think the reason they're sleeping on Rod Smith is it's the good old-fashioned new toy rule, yep. right? So you get a new toy, and human nature dictates that you probably kind of discount what that old toy has done for you. And Rod Smith is that old toy that has improved every season he's been with the team. He's done every single thing they've asked him to do. He's changed positions. He's flexed all over the place. He's a top shelf special teams guy as well. He delivered in the absence of Ezekiel Elliott. So although that is a huge battle for me, I think both Rod and Bo end up on the active 53-man roster. But just seeing Rod have to fight off a player like Bo Scarborough is going to be absolutely fantastic. Like you mentioned, Brandon Jacobs, he was a guy who just put his foot in the ground and went. That's what Bo does. He puts his foot in the ground and he goes. And it's amazing to see a man that has that size be able, because if you've seen his film from training camp practices, in open space, he has the ability to either run through you or make that shifty move, that cut move that gives him that extra space to get around you. It's phenomenal to watch, man. So, you know, but my question to you is this, because you mentioned Trey Williams as well. I don't know that I have a ton of confidence in the Trey Williams thing. That's kind of weird. He's kind of a Kellen Moore to me, and not saying that talent-wise, but saying that the Cowboys want him, they don't want him, they want him, they don't want him, they want him, they don't want him. I don't know how well that bodes for him going forward. I'm interested to see Jordan Chun, though, but where do you have Darius Jackson? Because you left him out, but the Cowboys
obviously
– I did
leave him out.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's a special team – he has some special teams value as well. So where do you kind of slot him in that lower-tier battle between, like, Chun, Williams, and Jackson?
Yeah, that was egregious on my part to leave out Darius Jackson, who was the camp darling for the Cowboys back when he was drafted sixth round back in 2016 in the same draft that we got Ezekiel Elliott. So he's in that competition as well. For me, Trey Williams is interesting because he's always the guy that's there – when things break for the Dallas Cowboys at the running back position. We just ran a profile on him because just a couple of days ago was 34 days until the first regular season game. So, you know, on Cowboys Wire, we're doing our player profile countdown. Each day we have a profile up for the jersey number that matches how many days left. So we ran it on him. I did the research. He joined the Cowboys as a replacement for Joseph Randall when they kicked him off the team. And then he rejoined the Cowboys when Ezekiel Elliott got suspended. And then this past week, last week, they cut him. And then 2 days later, they were like, we just kidding. Come on back to the roster, man. So
we got to call him I think his new nickname should be Fix the Flat. We got to call him Fix the Flat.
I love it. And this dude, he's the shortest guy on the roster. He's only 5'7", bowling ball, 200 pounds. So you could see him playing a role that not anybody else on the team can fill. But obviously, they didn't think enough of him based on, you know, whatever practice reps they saw in training camp to keep him close because they released him. And then for whatever reason, maybe it was a workload was too heavy on the guys that they had left. There could be an injury to one of the downline guys that they weren't ready to release and they needed to bring him back. You never know when it comes to training camp or preseason transactions of what this guy can bring. But I know that he should get snaps. And as a running back, if you can prove on the field once you get snaps, especially when you're talking about behind a third-string offensive line, even if it's against a third-string defense, if you can perform, you have a chance to talk the coaches into giving you one more shot. So I'm very interested to see how that goes. I really have no idea how it breaks down, and it really doesn't matter because Ezekiel Elliott, as long as he's not injured, is going to take 90% of the snaps. Whoever makes a team between Scarborough and Smith, or if both, they'll clean it up, and Tavon Austin is going to get a bunch of snaps. So because Austin is going to get the carries that I think were given to Lance Dunbar in combination with the jet sweeps and everything that they ran with Lucky Whitehead, I don't know for sure that the Cowboys are going to keep both Scarborough and Rod Smith. And I don't think Rod Smith is going anywhere. There's zero chance that Rod Smith is getting cut. So I think that Scarborough is a bubble guy in competition with the seventh wide receiver and a fourth tight end. I think the Cowboys end up only taking one of those three positions, maybe two, but definitely not all three to the 53-man roster. So that battle, even though they're not head-to-head in a position, they're battling for space on the active roster and on the game day and the full 53-man roster, and I can't wait to see how that plays out, who's going to stand out most between a guy like Gathers, a guy like Noah Brown, or slash Lance Lenoir, or Bo Scarborough. I think those guys are in competition with each other.
And the only thing I disagree with there is, I think both Scarborough and Rod Smith make the team, because I'm with you. I think there's a virtual nil chance of Rod Smith getting cut from this team. Now, I had a write-up a few weeks back where things will get interesting because he's entering a contract year, but I still don't think that he ends up going anywhere as far as being released this preseason I don't see it. But I think the Maverick here, when we're talking about that lower tier running back group, you know, your Jordan Chung, your Darius Jackson, your Trey Williams, the Maverick is going to be the fullback, Jamais, and forgive me if I mispronounce his first name, Jamais Olawale. Yep. I love his last name, though. Olawale is going to be the wild card, because if you look at his film, he has the ability to make plays out of the backfield, whether it be handoffs or being a receiving target. Yeah. So I think that when we're talking about your Chun, your Jackson, and your Williams, it's not just between those three. They got to look at someone like Olawale and say, well, you know, if the Cowboys feel like he has so much value that he is basically two positions in one, then, you know, I see it as Ezekiel Elliott, Rod Smith, Bo Scarborough, and Olawale. But see, that's just another great battle that we have to look forward to. And then, you know, switching to the defensive side of the ball, these defensive ends, yes, give it to me. Because this battle at defensive end, Coney Ealy hasn't had a great camp thus far.
Didn't expect it. And yeah. When they signed him, I was like, why is everybody hype? Have you not seen Coney Ealy these last 2-3 years? But people were hyped for it, and now he's coming through and showing what I thought he was going to be. He's a jag. He's a jag.
Mm-hmm. And I can't even disagree, because I was excited to see if he could get back to his prime form, but mine was tempered because, like you said, we know what he's been lately, and that's what he continues to be, unfortunately. So that's not necessarily the most exciting one, but when you look at someone like Charles Tapper is healthy. Yes. Now. Tapper is a big one. Antoine Woods at that, you know, on that interior. Oh, man, he's coming up big. He's going to challenge Jihad Ward, you know, who got brought over in that trade for with Ryan Switzer. So they got a lot of value in Jihad Ward. You like to think they're going to make him the default starter there. But Antoine Woods has come on strong, and he's not backing down. I mean, if you're a bubble guy and you two-piece Travis Frederick, that's the kind of guy I want on my team. That's the kind of guy I want on my team. I mean, his fire, his motor, he gets a lot of penetration into the backfield. And, you know, for a guy that size, 6'1", 312 pounds, he has some moves. And Rob Marinelli said something that really perked my ears up about him, Antoine Woods. I mean, Rob Marinelli likes guys who can move up and down the line. He said recently that he admitted he doesn't like anchor guys. Like, he doesn't like guys who are fixed in one position. But Antoine Woods is a guy that's an anchor. He's fixed in one position, but Marinelli loves Woods because he is not your typical anchor. He has some agility. He has some quickness. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he has. Brian Price, they re-upped on a deal with him. Your guy, Lewis Neal. Let's see what's going on with Lewis Neal. Yep. Dayton Jones came on strong at the back end of last season against the Eagles. Hearing great things about Durant Armstrong.
That's the one. That's the one. Durant Armstrong and Charles Tapper at the defensive end. I can't wait to. I hope they play the entire, especially with Randy Gregory not ready to go yet. I want them to play the entire second half and come away with like 3-4 sacks. That's what I'm expecting based on all of these camp reports of how good the rookie and the third-year player who hasn't really played but one game in his NFL career. I'm really excited to see what those guys do off the edge.
It's going to be that defensive line, man. We're going to see a treat. this preseason when it comes to those waves of guys. And obviously not everybody's going to make it, but from what I'm hearing, these are some hungry, talented guys. And it's arguably one of the more talented groups of defensive linemen that the Cowboys have had in a very, very long time when you look at each level of it. And whomever doesn't make the final 53-man roster, they're going to be playing somewhere this season. And that bodes well for the Cowboys because now they have a good problem that, you know, going forward, they got to figure out which one of these guys is not going to be that guy. But these guys are trying to eat, man. These defensive end battles and these defensive tackle battles is going to be a thing of beauty. It's going to be a thing.
It definitely should be. Before we sign off on the day, and again, I'm KD Drummond NFL on Twitter. He is at Voice of the Star. Make sure you're following us to stay up to date as we both of us will be live tweeting the preseason game as usual. But before we go, I want to talk about the secondary very quickly. We know about the battle where Dynasty had this Jordan Lewis versus Anthony Brown thing shakes out, whether either one of them can compete for snaps on the outside, because it looks like Owuzie and Jones had that thing absolutely locked down. We're all very well aware of the battle at safety. There's no Earl Thomas on the Cowboys, folks. It's between Xavier Woods, Jeff Heath, and Kevon Frazier, and how those guys play out. But I'm especially interested to see how my man Charvarius Ward does.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew it.
I mean, how can you not be excited about this dude that's making plays in every practice? Can he be that fifth cornerback for the Cowboys this year?
He is doing it. He's out there, man. He's all over the place. Like you said, he's making plays, and his name is definitely making its rounds when it comes to the Cowboys coaching staff. But so I'm interested to see Charvarius Ward. But let's not forget a guy, Donovan Alumba. He's made some plays as well. Duke Thomas. Can we see Duke Thomas make some plays?
Thomas was going to be on the team last year until he got injured. He was going to make the squad. So, he's in competition for that fifth cornerback spot as well.
So this is going to be absolutely fantastic. And then you got my guy from 2017, Marquez White.
Yep.
You know, he's made some plays as well, and he had some off-the-field issues that still need to be resolved. But, that's a story for another day, because it doesn't look like he was in the wrong. I don't believe he was in the wrong, but we'll see what the law says on that. But the Cowboys obviously don't believe it either, otherwise he wouldn't be on the team right now.
Exactly.
But he's made some plays as well. He's hungry. He was, kind of throwing some kernels out there last season when they kept going with Ben Wicke. Marquez was throwing some things out there on Twitter. He was like, free me, like release me. And he wasn't saying from the roster. He was like out of the cage.
Right,
he wants out of
the Kraken.
Cage. Yeah, he wants out of the cage. So I think that he's, he brings that Florida State fire. So, man, this secondary is going to be fantastic to watch. So that's what we mean, ladies and gentlemen, when we say when you watch these preseason games, granted, you're not going to see many of the starters or some of the guys that, put butts in the seats, like your Dak Prescott, your Ezekiel Elliott, your Byron Jones and players like that, DeMarcus Lawrence and players like that. But these other guys are going to be just as integral to the Cowboys going forward when it comes to, postseason appearances and potential postseason success. You just never know who's going to step up. And it all starts right now with the preseason and evaluating these guys and figuring out who has the talent, who's the sleepers. Through and through, we got some great battles coming up that'll kind of extend throughout the entire preseason. I'm excited.
I'm excited. We're going to have you covered here on Catch This Fade podcast. Again, you can subscribe. Please subscribe on iTunes, on Spotify, on whatever your favorite Android podcatcher is, whether it's Stitcher or Blueberry or whatever the case may be. We are there for you. Search for Cowboys Barbershop. That is the 100% guaranteed way to make sure that you're staying up to date on this iteration of Catch This Fade. Again, I am your host, KD Drummond. That is your other host, Patrick Walker. We are absolutely, absolutely excited to bring you Cowboys coverage for the 2018 season. Thank you for sticking with us, and we will have more to come. Say goodbye to the people, Pat.
Give us all the football, ladies and gentlemen. The drought is over. It's time for football, and I'm ready. You ready? Catch This Fade is back. It's in full effect. Follow us on Twitter, because why wouldn't you? Right. Subscribe on iTunes, because why wouldn't you? You like having a high quality of life, and we like being able to provide that to you when it comes to football. So follow us, subscribe, and we'll see you guys soon. Science.
You know what it is. Salute.